you absolutely mad.
The riots began because the stores could not meet the demands of Sutter Kane's novel, In the Mouth of Madness.
Kane disappeared 2 months ago without a trace.
I'm the guy that writes horror books.
You can forget about Stephen King. Kane outsells them all. I need to know if he's alive or dead, and I need that book.
It's a setup. I just have to work out how it's set up.
Kane's writing has been known to have an effect on his readers.
See this? It's a map.
This whole thing has been staged.
You just get out.
This is not reality.
It's all happening for real, Trent.
Welcome to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
All right. Welcome back, Kyle. Glad to have you back on mic.
Glad to be back.
Cool.
Glad to be back.
Nice.
Perfect shit storm last week. So sorry I missed it, but.
You didn't have lettuce, right?
No.
Okay. All right. I got that kind of shit storm. All right. Just making sure.
Hearing about the explosive qualities of this lettuce. But
I love that that's the adjective, like, in the mainstream.
All of the news reporters are using
all of it.
Explosive diarrhea.
Explosive.
Like, why?
It doesn't need to be there. I mean, diarrhea is pretty just self-explanatory, like, explosive by itself.
So. I mean, there are degrees, I would say.
It makes me wonder, like, how... Is it really that violently different?
I don't know.
Regular diarrhea?
I just imagine, like, Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Going nuts. Like, I'm just like, is it that? Like, is it literally that?
Like, practically shoots up through the ceiling off the cliff.
Like, how close is it to that? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, on a scale of Jeff Daniels of Dumb and Dumber to, I don't know. The kid in sleepaway camp
okay.
who gets killed by the bees. Okay. Where's it in between there?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah. But yeah, like I said, glad you're back and everything. All right. So tonight, before we get into this, I got a quick little public service announcement that I need to make.
Oh boy.
So, over the weekend, I watched a movie. And I know I'm probably extremely late to the game with this because it actually came out in January. But I waited a little bit because, obviously, I wasn't hearing the best things about it. And eventually watched it over the weekend thinking to myself, there's no way it can be that bad.
Yeah, I gotta hear what this is.
So, the movie I watched was Return to Silent Hill.
Okay.
It's a brand new Silent Hill movie that just came out. It's actually the dude who directed this one directed the first one that came out, like, all the way back in, I think, 2006 or whatever. So, like, he came back to do this. Allegedly, guy's a huge fan of the fucking games and shit like that. Because, I mean, it's based off of Silent Hill 2. So... I should preface this because this is an extremely, like, emotional reaction as well. But, you know, I feel like I'm willing to admit that. But, like, this is, like, Silent Hill 2 is widely regarded as one of the best, like, definitely one of the best video games, but if not one of the best stories ever told, like, in any medium, you know?
Really?
Yeah, wow. Like, it's highly regarded as that. It's fucking amazing. But what these assholes did is just completely fucking fumbled the whole thing. Like, ridiculously bad. Like, it was immediate. You felt it immediately when you were watching. Like, every time one of the characters was introduced, you're just like, that's not them.
That's not right.
Yeah. like, there's like a dude, Eddie, like, as soon as they introduce Eddie, I'm just like, that's not fucking Eddie. You know, they introduce Angela, I'm like, that's not fucking Angela. Like, you're just missing the point of everything. And then they took the whole crux of the story and changed it for some reason, and it just made it 1,000 times worse. And it was just the absolute worst attempt at a video game adaptation I've ever fucking seen.
So my question to you is, me being somebody who has never seen this movie or video games or whatever, would somebody like me have enjoyed it versus the people who actually knew about this beforehand?
I think that's you would point. Be confused as shit.
Really?
By okay. this movie.
Okay.
100%. Like, they make ridiculous changes. Like, in... Okay. Basically, the premise of the story is you're this guy, James, and you just all of a sudden, you know, as it starts, you're showing up like right outside of Silent Hill. And you basically, it's just this voiceover where you talk about your wife had died 3 years ago of some kind of, you know, illness. They never really get into it. But you recently got a letter that was, you believed was from her, telling you to come to Silent Hill to come find her and everything. So that's like the whole crux of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, even without, besides it being an absolutely terrible adaptation, it was just a shit movie as well.
Wow.
Like, it looked like it was made by us back in the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Is but this like, a, with is like zombies? With some actual special, it's like psychological horror.
Okay.
But the thing that's great is because, like, usually, like, when you have, like, the attention to the detail that the team made when they were writing this and making it, it was just fantastic. Like, every single one of the monsters is there for a reason. It's never just, like, I mean, like, for the most part. I don't remember what the one is, but, like, 90% of what you face there is there for a reason. Like, telling part of the story and shit like that. So, like, each one, like, represents something.
Okay.
So you would give it a what out of 10?
A 0.5.
Wow. Okay.
That's bad.
0.5 out of 10. So,
well,
yeah.
I think this movie is better than a
0.5. This movie is fantastic. But yeah, guys, just avoid, don't bother, unless you're just morbidly curious. But by God, do not pay any money to see this.
Yeah.
Just do what you need to do. So
that was an interesting question, because I don't know if I ever brought it up about the one time when I watched the movie Death Note. I think it was a Netflix movie, but it was based off an anime, which when I watched it, I had no idea of this.
Yeah.
And I went to work and like told the kids, I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty cool movie. It was called Death Note. It was pretty cool. And they're like, you left that piece of shit? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, whoa, like, what? You know, and they're like, "It's the anime is so much better." I'm like, dude, I didn't even know. You know?
But I didn't even know.
My bad.
I just watched a fucking movie.
Sorry.
I just clicked like, play DeVoe on something.
Was
in it.
I'm like, I was, you know.
That was enough of a hook for me.
Yeah, pretty much. I read the premise. Willem Dafoe's in it. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I would totally click on that.
Apparently it's garbage, so and it's dog shit, and I'm a fucking asshole for liking it.
How dare
sorry,
you,
guys.
You fucking cocksucker. You filthy cocksucker. How dare you like something?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. Let's get into this one.
That's amazing. But yeah, let's get into this. So we're not talking about any of those fucking movies tonight. In honor, we're going to get real really quick. Rest in peace, Sam Neill.
Oh,
in honor of the late, great Sam Neill, we've decided to talk about In the Mouth of Madness.
Yes, you were the one that broke that news to me. I didn't hear about that until you mentioned it last week, and yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, dude, that sucks.
Like, and it was unexpected. That's what I hear?
It kind of was, a little bit.
It could have been, like, really that old, right?
No.
I thought he was, like, 71
it's like,
or something?
Yeah, like, in his,
I could be wrong, but I thought it was 70s, something like that.
I think.
That ain't that old.
But yeah, no, it's not that old. But yeah, no, he was awesome. Like, a dude you never heard anything bad about. Like, there was never a scandal with Sam Neill.
No.
You know, like, nothing. He was just a great guy. And if you have looked at, like, all the people, like, everybody from Jurassic Park. Like, I saw like all their stuff that they wrote about it and shit. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I mostly know him from. No. I've heard of this movie and like I knew he was in it. Before this, I had never seen it.
He said he was 78.
Yeah,
78.
A
little
bit older than I thought.
Yeah, still,
yeah, a little bit older than I
thought. Still, though, I want some more years with Sam.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. But I'd heard of this movie. I knew he was in it and just never got around. So when you suggested, I was all for it.
Nice. So this was the first time watch for you?
First time, yeah.
That's right. I was going to say you too as well. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I was saying off mic, this is basically what happens when, you know, John Carpenter does H.P. Lovecraft. So this is what you get.
Yeah.
All right, so
and I did not know who H.P. Lovecraft was. You had to explain that to me off mic.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, anybody else? H.P. He was a author from back in the day. Did a bunch of short stories and novellas, that kind of thing. But all the stuff had to do with the ancient ones and Cthulhu. If you guys are familiar with that, like he was big in the Lovecraft universe. So he was basically that guy. So. Usually it was Stuart Gordon who did like Reanimator and stuff like that. He loved doing Lovecraft stuff, but this is kind of a John Carpenter putting his own spin on it. Yeah. So.
And I thought some definite Stephen King vibes. I didn't really know that much about it. I was a little surprised when it said it was like based on H.P. Lovecraft stuff.
Yeah.
And not Stephen King, even though it was funny how they do mention his name in the movie.
I think Stephen King just owns. Like the small town vibe, so anytime you get the small town in something, it just feels like Stephen King. Right.
When I see a kid or a small town and a kid with a baseball card and the spokes, like, I'm thinking Stephen King.
Yep.
Yeah. Like absolutely. All these random kids like riding bikes. I'm like, dude, like the fucking clown's going to get you. You need to get back inside and just lay low for the next couple months and then he'll be gone for another 27 years.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, so this movie actually starts out in a asylum. We see Sam being delivered by, first by ambulance and lets him go. And he ends up kind of fucking up these orderlies a little bit. These orderlies are fucking terrible. I'm sorry. There's two of them. It's two on one. He's already in a straitjacket and he's just fucking them up.
Yeah. First of all, can we even talk about this? Elaborate, like, psych facility.
It's huge.
I know. They don't make them like they used to.
It's like this white, it's almost like an arched, entryway.
The ceiling's huge.
And it was
like a cathedral.
Right. I thought the doctor was weird.
The doctor was weird.
The doctor was very weird to me.
Yeah. That guy looked like a real life Beavis. I thought, did you guys notice that shit? Like, literally looked like Beavis in real life. It was amazing. I do love though, as they're like pulling Sam Neill away. Just, I'm sorry about the balls.
That was hilarious. So actually,
funny.
Yeah. This movie kind of just like took off. I was like, didn't expect it to just start with him in a straitjacket.
No.
But it was a cool way to start, for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome. But eventually he gets in there and, holy shit, dude, we got David Warner just walking into this fucking movie. Do you guys know him from anything?
That was the doctor that came
in? Yeah, the doctor that came in.
He was familiar, but I couldn't pinpoint. A little familiar. Yeah.
He was the doctor in the second Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was in The Omen. Actual fun fact, I think I heard this somewhere. He was originally cast as Freddy Krueger, but then had some sort of scheduling conflict or something and had to drop out. And then that's when Robert Englund came in. So this guy could have been Freddy Krueger.
Wow.
All right. Well, it's good that he had to drop out.
I'm glad he had to drop out too.
Who else could be Freddy?
I know. I'm just like, I'm really curious about what that would have looked like. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to like peep into that. Part of the multiverse, where cool, David Warner is Freddy Krueger and just watch that movie really quick. I don't know, that'd be fucking interesting. But yeah, dude, David Warner's sweet. So, you know, while he's waiting for him, he's doing a little artwork around his cell a little bit. I find it a little hard to believe that he did all of this with one black crayon. But
one black crayon.
Right. Yeah, I'm
calling bullshit on that.
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
What was the doctor? You said the doctor's name was Dr. Wren?
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Wren.
Okay, so he was the one that went into question him, right?
Yep.
Or question. Okay.
Yep.
But yeah, it was very funny where he was like, oh, did he ask for anything? Just one black crayon. All right. Mm-hmm. Then you go in there and it's completely tattooed
covered
with crosses.
Mm-hmm. All over.
That took a long time.
He went a little heavy on the one and it just looks like a plus sign on his cheek. I remember. That's kind of funny.
Mirror.
No, I mean, he did really well for not having a mirror.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
I expected that shit would be like all jagged and everything, but and
being completely out of his fucking mind.
they should have, dude. That would have been funny as shit if they were like all crooked and like had all these jagged points on them.
They should have shown the crayon as like a nub.
Yeah. It's just like finishing just a little bit. It's just like, can I have another crayon? You know?
Can I have one other black crayon, please?
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. All right. So, I mean, yeah. So basically, David Warner just tells him, like, hey, I want to know how you got here. So just kind of, you know, is almost one of those like Ferris Bueller, like, guess you guys are wondering how I got here, you know? Well, let me tell you. And then we just kind of go right into a flashback here. So yeah, we just kind of see him like hanging out, just doing his thing. He's basically a fraud investigator for random insurance. I think he like freelances for different insurance companies.
That's
basically
what it sounded like. Guy, so, yeah. And, first of all, if you're into that kind of thing, that sounds like a fucking great job.
That sounds like a cool job. That sounds really sweet.
It does. Cause you're investigating people. Yeah. There's fraud everywhere.
You get to like be a cop without like being a cop, you know, like you just collect your, you know, collect your evidence and you're just like, all right, yeah, fuck this guy. And then you just never have to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But yeah, he ends up getting this one guy cause he's a fucking idiot. And you know, he had like these two chicks he was banging and shit. And I don't know, he totally caught him and you know,
yeah,
all that.
His wife and his
he's
mistress.
Like, I know you burned your, business down for the insurance money. He's like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I have a video evidence of your wife wearing some of the stuff that you claimed was destroyed. Oh, and also I have video evidence of your lover that you cheated with also wearing stuff.
Mm.
And so he's like, ah, damn it.
Oh, rats.
I think it was that was a nice like sample. That was a nice example of what he did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I liked
him
that
just
little...
fucking owning that, dude. Yeah. Like, he was, like, sweating his ass off, too.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
the whole
they, like,
time. Like,
heat or something in there.
Yeah. He's like, dude, are you okay? Like, are you fine?
They just threw a cup of water on him, like, before they before they put a shot on him.
Sam Neill's, like, rocking this, like, cold pack underneath his jacket and shit, like, so nobody knows. Right. And he's just like, I'm fine. Like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, what's your problem, man?
You look like you're guilty of something. All right, so after that, him and his buddy are at this diner, you know, having breakfast or whatever, and all of a sudden this fucking crazy asshole just bashes the window in with a fucking axe and tries to murder Sam Neill.
I love that shot, though, too, because, you know, they're just sitting at their booth, and, like, you see him, like, come from across the street.
Yeah.
Like,
all of a sudden he just walks out of the building with a fucking axe.
From afar, just walking across the street towards him through the window, and, like, you're like...
Like, dude, like, I don't even know where the fuck you would get an axe in New York City.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, probably like maybe, you know, one of those fire axes, you know, behind glass or something.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
All I could think
something
of.
Something like that.
The one thing that I noticed, because at first, because, you know, when he was going across the street with the axe, I'm just like, well, this is weird. Like, I'm expecting, like, everybody's kind of minding their own business and stuff. But then all of a sudden I see some of the extras. I go, no, I think people are reacting the way they actually would.
Yeah.
Like, in that scenario.
Kind of like, okay,
because,
what the
first
fuck?
Of all, it's New York City. A lot of people tend to ignore each other in New York City. There's a lot of wackadoos out. But all of a sudden, this guy's just slowly, you know, going across the street with an axe. Then all of a sudden you see the extras kind of, like, looking at him. You know, just kind of, you know, whatever. And then as he starts going into, like, the little, like, patio right before the window, you see people kind of gathered, like,
around. Yeah, kind of like, and I'm like, you know what?
That's exactly how people would act. Like, there's not going to be many heroes out there that are going to, you know, you would hope that there's one, you know, that's going to try to stop this guy with an axe.
But yeah, you'd hope so.
You would hope. But I thought, like, just even like, just like those little nuances of the extras. I'm like, hey, that was, I liked how they handled that. It just seemed, even on the outskirts, I felt like they acted like anybody would act if you saw some crazy person.
Maybe even more so, because it makes me think of that, what happened in, at the grocery store. This was a little while ago but you know what I'm saying? Like, some crazy lady attacked a mother and her kid, and he was swinging this huge butcher knife around all over the grocery store. Like, no one said anything. No one did anything, if anyone saw her. But you could see that on the security footage, she's blatantly just swinging this fucking huge knife around. I mean, crazy.
Dude, somebody go punch that bitch in the face, dude. Yeah, like, come on, man. What the fuck?
Like, yeah, knock her ass down.
Grab a bag of potatoes and crack her in the fucking head, dude. Right. Like, whatever you got to do, take the bitch down.
I know. I know. Like, but you could see why people would freeze like that, especially like, dude, they're, what is going on? Like, do I want to insert myself into this situation? I can see people doing that. Yeah. Like, you know, just kind of in that freeze mode. Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, somebody call the police, but like,
or you're just, like you said, minding your own business and you literally don't even notice.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't look around. I don't give a shit what other people are doing when I'm going to the store. I'm trying to get in and get out.
Yep, exactly. I don't know.
So he just axes right through that window.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. He just fucks up that glass. So rolls up in there, rolls up to Sam Neill and asks him if he reads Sutter Kane. It's the only thing he wants to know.
Yeah.
He has some, like, really calm, too.
He's
like,
where the nearest public restroom is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, dude, he's very low key with his question. He's like, hey, do you read Sutter Kane? It's like, all right, I'm going to ask you.
The bathroom question was more reasonable than what he actually says. Do you read Sutter Kane?
So, yeah, he goes up and he axes him if he reads Sutter Kane. And thankfully, just as he's about to, we get a couple of cops in there who just, you know, drop this dude, just blast him a whole bunch of times. They just open fire, like, in this diner, which is amazing. Thankfully, they were able to, like, shoot up at him, you know, because he, like, jumped up on the table. So they didn't hit any of the, you know, crowd that was forming outside.
Oh, right,
right.
So. Yeah, yeah.
That's lucky. But, yeah, so they take the guy out, and, of course, everybody's like, what the fuck's going on? And, I mean, later on, when Sam's just, you know, chilling at home, he's, you know, watching the news, and there's all these stories about all this unrest going on around the bookstores and stuff like that.
Regarding this specific author
and
his, and his books, this Sutter Kane.
This Sutter Kane guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and at that point, he's thinking, like, this is just, you know, this is just a bunch of wackadoos. This has nothing to do with the books. Like, he's not.
He's pretty, you know, nonplussed throughout, like, most of this until it gets super fucked up.
He's like, the whole time, rational, he's like,
this
actually.
Is bullshit, dude. Like, get that fuck out.
He's pretty rational.
Yeah.
He's been around the block, so he knows that most of these insurance claims.
He's always looking for bullshit. He's always looking for bullshit.
Right. You know, he's not very trusting, but he has reason not to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, I'll always find out that you're full of shit.
Yeah. Absolutely. So after this, he has a meeting with Charlton Heston.
For Arcane Publishing. Yep.
Tells him.
Can we get a real actor in here?
Yeah, I know, right? Shut your mouth, you damn dirty ape.
Baker Street. I once knew a girl on Baker Street.
You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold dead fingers. You damn dirty ape! God, I can love Charlton Heston. But yeah,
can we get a real actor here?
But yeah, so he plays the
I was
the
surprised
publisher.
To see him.
Oh yeah, dude, all of a sudden you roll in, it's like fucking Charlton Heston. But yeah, so he's playing the publisher. And basically hires Trent to go find Sutter Kane, because apparently prior to getting them the finish of the book, he's vanished.
For 2 months.
Yeah.
They couldn't know where he was.
Yeah, he's been just gone. So basically, he finds out also that the guy who attacked him was Sutter Kane's agent.
Yeah. And so, the agent was the only...
And he was, like, the only dude who, like, actually knew where he was, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and he only... Like, the publishers never even met the author.
Yeah,
so the, no. Everything was dealt, everything dealt was through that guy.
Through the agent, yeah. Yep. But then, you know, throughout the meeting and everything, this is where we meet Linda Stiles.
So, what? So, but the whole reason for hiring Sam Neill was to... find him and get the book, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's what it was.
Yep, he's going after the book. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, he also meets Linda Stiles, who is the editor for his books and all that. And apparently she's a pretty big fan and actually really defensive of him as well. I will say, she's also kind of a bitch, you know? No lie, that like cunty fucking fake cough when he lights up a cigarette, you know, I think, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, then take a step back.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you go stand in the corner then? You're so
this
worried.
This is 1994.
Yeah, like, exactly. You're allowed to smoke somebody's everywhere. Office.
Yeah.
You're allowed to smoke everywhere. It was freedom, you pieces of shit. I don't even smoke anymore, and I'm still mad about this. But yeah, so we meet her. They start talking about the book's effect on people as well. Apparently, there have been some reports that people had some problems after reading some of his books.
So in that case, why isn't this like why there should be a delay in publishing these books, right?
No. If you can claim that shit, you can sell way more books.
Well, right, but also on, like, the ethical end.
No. Who gives a shit?
Yes, on the ethical end, like, if there's, like, holy shit, people are literally going insane reading these, you would think they would, you would think somehow, in some way, the government would get involved. You would think, right? If they're starting to become, like, an actual problem, like, a problem that's being seen.
They probably got a file on it.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody's probably got a file on it. But yeah, the government doesn't do shit. And I think that's just another great marketing thing. Like, this book is making people insane. Do you dare to read it?
Well, it is it's a great marketing thing.
You know, like, yeah.
If it was
gonna get
like, if that was real, like, I would have that book.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. You know, like, if that was real, I'd be like, give me that fucking book, dude.
Here's the thing.
I can take it.
If it was like, presented as real and it wasn't kind of like The Fourth Kind, then I would read it. But I'm not going to read it.
Fuck
if it's
that
like,
movie.
You will go insane if you read this. I'd be like, no, I got my own problems. I'm not reading this.
Yeah. Well, I'm already crazy.
No, I'm like bullshit. Give me that fucking book. Like, I dare you. All right, so after that, Sam Neill tries macking on Stiles a little bit as well. So that was kind of cool, watching him trying to lay it down. To no avail, though, unfortunately. So on his walk home alone, he witnesses some police brutality. You know, probably just, you know, typical New York doing New York stuff.
I
know. You know?
I was like, wait, what the hell's going on here? He's beating the shit out of some homeless guy.
He doesn't really bat an eye. He just kind of walks, looks at it, walks again.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever.
You want some of this, buddy?
Yeah. It's
like, he's no. Like, I'll go on my way,
it's like,
I guess.
I'm good. But yeah, at the same point, though, like, Sam's just convinced it's all bullshit. He's like, this is some kind of setup. This is stupid. You know, like...
I still would be in this. If I were him, I would still be in the bullshit mindset, for sure.
I'd be like, this is a publicity stunt to get people to be like, oh, right. It disappeared and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And,
yeah, I mean, it's on theme for, like, the guy's, all his work, you know? It's like, oh, now he disappeared. Yeah. Just in time for his new book to come out, you know? And he's not wrong, that's the thing.
No, not at all. All right. So after that, we get a little research going down, see Trent's kind of going around and picking up some of his books and everything. This fucking nerd in the bookstore.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, this is when he actually...
gets all the covers and cuts them all up and figures out the whole puzzle with the covers for where
he's supposed to be. But that's after he's already read all of them. Right,
he's like read a book, you know, some of them.
Or some of
like.
Them.
Because I feel like he hasn't read all of them.
But he's already getting like those kind of like those little nightmares, like the
Bit. Well, this is this is right where that's Well, those nightmares, where he incepts like three levels or some shit.
Yeah.
Can't believe this. He has like a nightmare within a nightmare within a fucking nightmare. Like,
already, I didn't think.
Yeah, it was like right here. Yeah. Because he has like the Maniac Cop fucking nightmare where that guy looks like Maniac Cop. Have you ever seen that movie?
I know what you're talking about. I do want to watch that.
Okay, but like, yeah, he looks like that, and then, like I said, it's a nightmare within a nightmare because he wakes up and then has to wake up again. And
it looked like he was going to go over there and do something about it.
Yeah.
Until the cop turns around and his face is all fucked up and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
And then he wakes up and then he's sitting right next to him and then wakes up again. And then, like,
oh, right. Yeah. That one. Yeah, dude.
He did like a triple inception. Like, I think that's how that works. I haven't watched that movie in a while.
I think so.
Yeah, he went like three levels down or some shit. I don't know. I
didn't understand that movie.
Yeah, whatever.
I turned my brain. I think I finished watching it, but I turned my brain off well before the halfway point.
Nice.
And fuck. I'm not willing to try it again. So fuck it.
Makes my brain hurt.
No.
Shit. So the next day, Harglow, who's, what's his face?
Heston?
Yeah, Charlton Heston. He ends up sending Skiles along with Sam to go look for Sutter Kane. It's basically like, I want you to go together, blah, blah, because the whole time, even still at this point, he's still telling him, like, this is bullshit, dude. Like, come on. You know? Like, just cut the shit. Like, come on.
Don't send me off on this whole road trip for nothing, because I know this is bullshit. They're like, no, seriously, he's gone.
Yep. So after that, we get into the car, and you know, they're driving along.
Oh, we haven't done that.
Driving along. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yep. So they're on their way from New York City to somewhere in New Hampshire. Because he shows them the map, you know, and how he fixed got the puzzle, and it looks like an exact cutout section of New Hampshire. So yeah, actually, from there to there is actually like 4.5 hours. So the time for this, because the drive takes all night and into the next morning, doesn't really like, unless it was supposed to be on purpose.
Yeah. What was that? You know? What was the town's called again? Because they were like, that town doesn't exist. He's like, well, maybe it does. You know.
Hobbs End.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Because they basically, you know, as they're cruising down and everything like that, I don't know. Sam has a horn in his fucking glove box for some reason.
I thought that was so like, comedic.
That was amazing. Me too.
Yeah.
Because like Scouse is asleep, so he just pulls it out and like Bozo the Clowns her really quick to like wake her ass up. Like,
what the fuck?
And she hits him.
Oh, like, yeah. You're awake now.
It's like, oh, hey,
that's like exactly what I would do. I'm like, what the? You couldn't just tap me on the shoulder?
That's amazing.
Like, don't throw chips at the driver.
It's like that's a rule or some shit.
Like, does his actual car horn not work? So he just uses that and just puts it out the window. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I want to get one of those.
Yeah, I mean, why else would you have it in a car?
I don't know. Someone's
like
sleeping.
Like a bike horn.
My horn like, works, is it a clown but I horn? Want that. I want that to, like, make some more, like, emphasis on it.
Yeah.
Get, like, a really fucking loud one, you know?
Like if you're at a stoplight.
Yeah. Like, fuck you. Like, that'd be amazing. Yeah. But yeah, so like I said, they're driving and they're fucking starting having this conversation about reality versus fiction and all this shit. And then they have this whole scene with the boy on the bike. So they pass a kid on a bike at one point and then pass him again, but he's a creepy old man.
And at this point, the girl is driving.
And the girl is driving, yeah. So, I mean, serves him right. So, so after this, her being, you know, such a fantastic driver ends up hitting this guy and just kind of rolls him over the side.
I will, as we go on, I actually think she's a great driver, but go on.
Well, she ends up pulling over after she, you know, plows this dude, but he ends up being fine. He just kind of stands up and gets back on the bike and just rides off. If I'm Sam, I'm definitely taking the wheel at this point, though. I'm just going to be like, you know what? Get in the fucking passenger seat.
Right, because I would be, distraught.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, yeah. I just ran.
I would not be able to drive
a car. I just hit the monster with the car.
I got a little, pocket knife here. We're going to make a blood oath right now. We're never going to tell anybody about this. Even though he appeared to be okay.
Hey, he walked away from it, so he's fine. Oh, man. But, yeah, so, you know, as they're going along and everything, though, she continues to drive. Has a couple of more, you know, freakouts as she's going through, but eventually they just kind of show up at Hobbs End.
So, well, because of when you just played off as, oh, there's little freakouts. When she was driving, all of a sudden, what happened? The road changed. It was almost like she was going through one of those, light tunnels.
Yeah.
And, I would have crashed. That would have, made me very, I don't know. How she just kept her cool and did not crash during that. Because that was the lights and what they were showing in the movie of what she was looking like, looking at as she was driving. I can't imagine you're going to be able to clearly see the road. Honestly, I would have pulled over. Actually, I would have pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
But then she just gets there and I go, she drove through that just. Fine. Yeah. Holy shit.
Through the freaking rainbow road in Mario Kart.
I mean, she didn't even, swerve at all or do anything because freaking Sam Neill is sleeping still.
He's a sleepy boy.
He's so, a tired boy.
In that respect, that's why I thought, geez, she's a good driver.
So that's your evidence for it. Okay.
That is my evidence for it.
Fair enough. A Wooga horn and woken his ass up with it. Be like, are you seeing this shit?
Are you seeing all this crazy shit? Because if not, then you're.
Then it's your turn to drive. Yep.
Because apparently I got dosed at some point and.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever the fuck happened.
I liked how when, everything, they went through, the covered bridge. The New England covered bridge, and then they're
that's cool.
Sort of out of that weird portal and into this town that apparently doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, this is what I thought was going to happen. The moment they got through that tunnel and ended up in that town that quote doesn't exist, I thought that somewhere down the line they were going to attempt to leave, and that tunnel was gone.
Yeah.
I thought that's exactly what was going to happen, and it didn't, but, that's fine, but I thought for sure...
It could have.
It could, it would have made sense for that to happen, and I was expecting it to happen. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right. So, like we said, they arrived in Hobbs End, and apparently it perfectly matches Kane's descriptions of the small town. So, it's kind of quaint, but a little bit off. They check into Mrs. Pickman's Inn, and, Sam Neill starts again. He's like, this is all fucking bullshit. This is a setup, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and this is where when you say the town is quaint but off, this town scared the shit out of me. Because there was not, when they were going through that town, I looked around. There was zero cars. Zero people.
Oh, yeah, it was like a ghost
town. It was a literal ghost town. Not even like a parked car, an empty parked car. There was nothing when they were going through it. And I go, ooh, yuck.
I was like, this town looks awesome.
Oh, this gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I was like, let me get out and walk around this shit. Oh, man. But, that, group of kids that we see, too, at that one point, fuck all those kids. Fuck all the kids in this town, 100%.
But at that point, Linda was the only one who saw a bunch of kids go into the street and then go off. Mm-hmm. And when she told, what the hell's his name in this movie?
His name is Sam Neill.
As far as
I'm concerned, his name is Sam Neill.
When she asked Sam Neill, who was looking in that direction.
His name's Trent.
Trent. At that point, Trent did not see it.
Mm.
That point, she was seeing illusions of things before he was.
Oh, yeah. She starts seeing shit way before he does.
Yes.
It's almost like
Sutter Kane's going after her first.
Right.
So. But yeah, so they get into Miss Pickman, and Miss Pickman, hey, it's Happy Gilmore's grandma.
Happy Gilmore. Oh my God, yeah. No.
Yeah, that's
grandma.
Awesome.
And the grandma, grandma that Seinfeld grandma. Stole her purse, right? Oh, nice. Was that the same one?
Which one?
When Seinfeld?
Oh, no, he stole her rye.
The oh, bread? Her the
bread.
Rye.
Yeah.
Stole her bread.
To your old bag. Yeah. He called her an old bag.
Give it to me, old bag.
That's amazing. That's what it was, the rye.
That's fantastic. But yeah, so they're in the lobby of this hotel, and Styles is just starting to freak out and see different things. I mean, she sees the painting that she knows about. She knows about the loose board. She mentions the loose board right before Sam steps on it.
Yeah.
Like, she's just describing all the stuff that's been written in the book, supposedly. And she's,
oh, go on.
I was just going to say, she's more well-versed. She knows that all of his books.
Oh, yeah.
She edits them, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows like all those little
things. But you can hear, you could see her wheels turning and getting more nervous.
Yeah, because she's like, just like, what the fuck? What like the fuck? Before, what the fuck? What the fuck, dude?
Right, because he's still in kind of bullshit mode. Mm. And she's just like.
But at oh this point, this.
Well, Sam never read that book.
Does she admit, like, at this point, like, okay, like, yeah, it was bullshit, but like, this is not
yet.
Not yet. She does later. Okay. Yeah, she does later. Spoilers! Spoilers! Oh, man.
For anyone who listens to a podcast about a movie that you haven't seen, the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, at this point, you guys should fucking know.
Yeah.
but yeah, like, the church as well. Because they get up to their room, and Samuel's like, see, it's bullshit. The church is supposed to be out this window, and, like, opens the thing, and she's like, no, stupid. Like, it's supposed to be out this window.
If you read it correctly, yeah. It was east-facing
she
or something.
She's kind of bitchy. She is kind of bitchy, but whatever.
But she was right.
She was right, because she pulls the curtain, and there's the goddamn church. So, there we go. So, they see the black church, so they decide to go take a look at it.
Oh, boy. I'd be like, you can go. I'm not going.
Yep. And this is a point where they're up there just kind of checking it out. It's locked. And all of a sudden, an angry mob of townsfolk, who are apparently led by a guy named Simon, they confront the church and roll up there and just start screaming for Kane. And dude shoots his gun off. That dude, that fucking doors opening with the kid and fucking closing and back and forth was sweet.
That was
terrifying.
Because he basically says, like, give us back our kids. And then all of a sudden the doors open and his son is standing right there. And he's like, oh shit, like, come on, come on. And it starts doing open, close, open, close, open, close, until all of a sudden there's fucking Sutter Kane. And he's the fucking grandpa from Beer Fest.
I know.
Which is amazing.
I know. I'm like, we got the grandma from Happy Gilmore and the grandpa from
Beer fucking Fest. Beer Fest. Like, that's so good. Should hook up. Like, say hello to the family whore. So good. I fucking love that guy. It's fucking amazing.
She had the mark of the whore.
Here, go get the blowjob on me.
Yeah. I love that movie.
It's so good. But yeah, so we do that, and then all of a sudden, just like Mr. Burns, he releases the hounds on these guys.
That was terrifying.
Oh yeah, that one was terrifying. It was kind of cute. I was like, ah, fucking, yeah. You know, like, I mean, there were Dobermans, which, like, are kind of scary puppies, but still.
Well, but they're scary knowing that he, like, taught them to attack.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it'd be that's really what funny if they went out there and the just started licking him. And-
yeah. Started, like, playing and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Release the hound.
Yeah. So he releases all the fucking hounds. But it is funny because in another movie that when we were talking last week about possibly what to do, because I mentioned possibly doing The Omen Part 3, because Sam Neill's in that as well.
Oh, right.
There's another puppy attack, but it's a bunch of, like, really cute puppies, and it just doesn't make sense, because you're like, oh, but, like, this guy's, like, supposedly getting murdered, and it's like, yeah, it just doesn't, yeah, it's whatever. But that movie's about killing a bunch of babies, so Amanda didn't want to do it.
I did not want to do so. It. I said I would not show up.
Okay, well, I'm maybe glad we picked this one.
Maybe one time when it's just you and me, we'll do The Omen Part 3, do another Sam Neill episode.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
But yeah, so the leader of this mob straight up looks like Viggo the Carpathian. If you notice that,
yeah,
that might be the same fucking actor too. Like, he looks that much like him. I have no idea, but it might be the same fucking actor.
Yeah. Hung, shot, stabbed, dragged, burned.
Right before his head died. Oh, man. So back at the inn, Styles starts insisting that the events mirror the unpublished book, and you know she wants to go after go after Kane and confront him.
Oh yeah, but that was a big thing.
But this is when they have the big argument, because Sam is still pissed and he's like, "This is all bullshit. You set this up." Like, because even when he talks to this guy later, he's like, "Oh, it's like, yo, so you're the actor, huh?" And he's like talking to him like that, like he was in on it and shit.
Yeah, but
so the whole time,
right? But this was also a big thing because he was like, you know, he's talking about, well, what about the kids? The kids aren't in the book. She was like, well, not in this book. It's in the unpublished book. So it showed me that it's like, okay, so she knows what's happening. But so that makes sense if he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, because he doesn't know, like, you know.
This is like part three or whatever.
Right, so he's
read like part one and part two.
So it's not like he's like, oh my God, I know what happens at the end of this. Like, I got to figure this out. Like, he's just like, I don't fucking know what happens in this, because she read it, not me.
Yeah. I guess the thing was the only two people that read it were her and his agent.
Yes.
And now his agent is dead. Yes. So. But yeah, this is when she, you know, admits that it was half true. That it was fucking bullshit.
So he was right originally.
Yeah.
Basically. None of this Hobbs End was supposed to happen in her mind.
Apparently, right? the idea was they deliberately sent him away to do the stunt and everything like that. But when they set up for him for where he was supposed to go, he never showed up, and that's when he disappeared. And that they couldn't find him since then. So
and then when they were driving to Hobbs End, right? Hobbs End. And why do I always forget what it's called?
Yeah,
Hobbs End.
Yeah,
Hobbs End. They sent Styles with him, assuming they were not going to find anything. They weren't
going to find anything, yeah.
Because the place didn't exist when it fucking did.
All of a sudden that did, though. Yeah. So, yeah. So, all the stuff in the book is still happening. Styles tries to fuck her way out of trouble, which, I mean, I guess is a good move. Yeah, chicks can do that way easier than guys can. Because all of a sudden, she just starts making out with Sam Neill.
That made no sense to me.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
I was like, did I...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like
I thought maybe I'm like, did he write that into the book?
Probably. Because, I mean, he's been trying to get these two to bang the whole fucking time. Yeah.
I just figured, I'm like, if anything crazy, like something that doesn't make sense, clearly he just wrote that in the book. And
there we go. Yeah, pretty much. But she ends up distracting him with that and is able to snake the car keys.
That's
where she got the car keys. Oh, like she did that, and he was like, ah, fuck. And then he's like, I'm fucking out of here. And he rolled out, but he left the car keys. So she snagged him. And then he went down and saw Happy's grandma. And then this is where we get her and her husband, because if you caught that part earlier on, it says he's talking about the book. He's like, well, Miss Pickman freaking like tortures so her nice. Husband and blah blah. It's like that little old lady wouldn't fucking torture shit.
Yeah, like the worst thing she could do is dip her teeth in his glass of beer.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, like says something like that. But like he's got him like handcuffed to her fucking leg.
I know that below. Was creepy. I was not expecting.
It's funny. She's like fucking like kicking naked, him and shit. Ass
naked, like handcuffed to her leg, and like kicking him and shit.
Yeah.
What I couldn't understand is that I thought there was going to be more to that.
No, it was just a fucked up part of the story. That was probably discussed in the other two books.
He heard it.
Oh, he was about to like check it out and see, but then that's when Styles ran out and stole the car, so he's more distracted by that.
Oh, right.
So but, like that's exactly when it happened.
Could tell, like,
yeah, because she looked
Happy's
over.
Grandma and, like, was kicked. Being a little weird and shit, and he was like, what? What are you doing?
But then she like stomps on him, and somebody visibly was like,
"Yeah, like, she like cracked him," and she was dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss, and so like Sam Neill knew something was off. So, but you know, luckily for her, she that's when styles like Gene roll.
Simmons from Kiss just to make him feel. I mean, she knew he
was upset, so like she was trying to cheer him up. You know, that's what she. That's the only way she knows how to help people. Oh, man. So after that, Sam's just kind of walking around. And this is when we get Sam and Vigo hanging out in the bar. And this is when he accuses him of being in on it. He's like, oh, you're one of the actors. Like, you guys are fucking so full of shit. Like, fuck you. Blah, blah. But yeah, so he basically tells him, like, you should leave. Like, this isn't a tourist town. You should really go.
And this is the time when I thought that he was going to get his car back or even walk and the tunnel would be gone. When the guy said, you should go, I thought he was going to be like, you're absolutely fucking right. You should go. And then find out there's no way to get out type of thing. That's what I thought. Didn't happen, but that's what I thought.
Yep. So we catch back up with Linda and she's back at the church. She gets a visit by all them kids. Fuck them kids. They all look like the fucking children in that movie, if you've ever seen that. 1980 fucking horror movie about a bunch of killer kids.
What's it called? The Children?
It's just called The Children.
No, I have not seen that.
They get like toxic wasted and shit and then like hug people and like smoke comes out and they all got like black eyes and shit. Like, I don't know. It's,
sounds cool.
It's kind of a cool movie. Yeah.
Better than a Silent Hill movie?
Yeah, 1000%.
Sorry, don't get him going.
I'm not going to say nothing about the spoilers and shit because, goddamn it, like people should experience the real fucking version. But don't watch that fucking movie. Go play the goddamn game. You can go get the game. There's even a remake. Play the fucking remake. Like the remake is fantastic too. So yeah, this is when Linda meets Kane. So she just kind of walks into the church at this point. It's unlocked for her.
I would never go by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But she ends up walking in and then finds Kane. And he's just, you know, sitting there like typing away. And this is just when they have their little back and forth. He basically tells her, like, you know, the old ones have been guiding his writing. Like he's like, oh, the whole time I thought I was making this up, but it turns out I was being guided the whole time. And now here's the end of it. And basically, gets her with the fucking manuscript. Like he like grabs her by the fucking head.
She like she shit. It?
Yeah. Well, like
just goes in her head.
It's like she pissed on the carpet the way he grabs her fucking head and shoves it down. I was like, what the fuck, dude? But yeah, it just like shoves her right into the book. She gets blasted by all of it and then, you know, gets the bloody eyes and everything. And then we see the weird demon thing that kind of looks like, okay, you remember that episode of South Park with like the nurse with the conjoined fetus, like the dead fetus on her face?
I do.
Do you remember that? Yes. Okay, that's what this shit looks like because he's got like a goddamn demon conjoined fetus on his back who's just like, you know, growling shit like as he's going. But yeah, it looked like that, like the conjoined fetus lady nurse.
I was thinking the dude from Harry Potter.
Yes!
At least the movie where he's got like the other head on the back of his head.
Never watched any one of those.
Really?
Yeah, never have. Yeah, yeah, I never gave a shit about Harry Potter, honestly.
Oh.
So.
Well, books were good.
That's what I heard. I don't know. So, yes. So after that, we kind of get back to the hotel with Sam Neill. I love when he's just kind of walking around because he goes down to the front desk and he's trying to find, you know, Happy Gilmore's grandma. He's just like, eventually he's like, come on, you old bitch. He's like,
where the fuck are you? The ringer.
There so are definitely funny. Certain quotes in this movie that are comedic.
Come on, you old bitch. Like, yeah. It's fucking great. But yeah, so he ends up going to down to the basement, sees the grandma monster fucking up. You know, the husband and all that stuff ends up leaving, but he does get attacked by Linda. And this is when we get like the real time occurrence of because, like, we saw that like tentacle shit like under the door, like in a couple of flashes as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but this is when it actually happens because she's just standing there with her fucking, I guess, her tentacles fucking flopping all over the place and then just kind of attacks him.
But he ends up bailing out of there.
I was going to say, after that, I would just leave and leave her behind, honestly.
Oh, I mean, he kind of tries to until he sees her. Because he does jump in the car and take off and everything. And then he starts going, but he sees the mob, and then he sees, you know, Styles. He's like, fuck.
I'd be like, that's not her. She got tentacles.
Yeah. So he ends up, but at that point, he ends up, you know, stopping and then running into the bar. And, you know, Vigo's still chilling, but he ends up taking his shotgun and blowing his fucking head off.
Because that's how it was written.
That's how he was written. Yep. He's like, Kane wrote me like this and just blows his fucking head off.
Get out of here. I have to do this.
Yep. So Vigo's out at this point.
Which is crazy to me because it seems like everybody except Sam Neill in this is like, it's almost like, is the book being read in their heads? Like, how does he know that? Like, oh, this is how I was written. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how does that work out? Because Sam Neill doesn't seem to know anything.
Well, they have a more direct connection, is the way I look at it. Like, he's got a more direct connection with him. Like, Sam Neill is basically his character who he's more or less given free will to, is how I look at it. Like, I mean, not total, but like kind of, okay. At least more perceived. Okay. Free will, I suppose, whereas everybody else is just playing by their script.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, he's still in the process of writing, like, right up to the end of the movie mm-hmm. as well. So, like, even as all this stuff is happening, he's just like, I don't know. Like, let's see what he does and, you know, just kind of go from there. You know? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I look at it. Oh, man. So after this, he kind of goes back out and he's runs into Styles, who, hey, in his defense, she hit him first. Hit him first because she punches him in the face and he just wastes no time and just pops her and knocks her out and throws her over his shoulder.
I was a little shocked by that.
Fucking hilarious.
But here's the
no
thing.
Hesitation. Just
like, oh, okay.
I am pro punch at this point. Because,
she started it.
First of all, he already saw the tentacles. He knows. He hasn't been around her long, but he's been around her long enough where her punching him, that's not the norm. That's not her. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not her puncher. She's an alien.
Yeah, before she turns into a squid again.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, at least like, you know, meh, you know, before she turns into a squid, I suppose. But yeah, so he ends up throwing her in the car and they're trying to go away, but she ends up getting her hands on the keys and fucking almost playfully goes to swallow them, which is hilarious because he totally like just gives her another schmeck, you know, like when she does that.
The old Sean Connery.
He gave her the Sean Connery treatment, you know.
But she did swallow them.
She did.
Yeah. And he was like, Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was like, give her a little schmeck.
I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to have to induce vomiting on you.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something.
Because I'm not waiting for those to come out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to freaking give you a, you know, hit you in the fucking diaphragm with a forearm shiver and make you fucking throw up those goddamn keys. So he ends up, but I mean, it actually doesn't even really matter that she swallows the keys because he just pulls out like a screwdriver or something.
Yeah, I didn't understand from there.
Did he just pull out a screwdriver and like just take the initial?
Yeah, like he just kind of like hotwired the car really quick, which I guess he's just able to do that.
I didn't think he hotwired it. He just pulled like an apparatus off. Like he somehow the key area, he took something off to where he was just able to take the screwdriver and just use that as the key.
Yeah,
he just ripped something off.
Yeah, that was probably it. Yeah. That's kind of... Yeah,
is it really that easy?
I mean, dude, okay, I had a buddy back in the day.
Why have a key at all?
I had a buddy back in the day whose car, literally, you didn't need a key to turn it on. So we would just steal his car all the time. Like, because you literally just turn, like, where you put the key in, but, like, it would just turn, and it would just start the car. Like,
oh, my God.
It was such a piece of shit. So, yeah, so we would just steal his car
all
the
time. That's hilarious.
So, yeah.
Because obviously his car didn't lock either.
You remember Dave from back in the day? From Dave? Chuck's? Yeah, from Chuck's. It was his car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was his car. We used to steal his car all the time. So shout out to you if you ever listen to this. But but yeah, so speaking of that, you know, so once again they're driving along. So they almost crash again from her going for another makeout sesh. I'd have been like, no, you know, I think Sutter Kane wrote in the book that Roadhead. Yeah, I think Roadhead is probably what we're doing while we're going out of town. It's the only way to like celebrate our freedom.
But did you read that part?
Did you read that? Like, yeah, no, that was totally in the book. Like 100%. You know, a beach.
A beach.
From a squid alien.
Yeah. She's not a squid alien now. She's
turn
just a regular
back into
chick.
That octopus because they got that beak and that's not gonna be it's not gonna be fun.
It's not going to No, absolutely not. Oh god, but yeah, so they ended up stopping the car, but then this is when she does turn into a squid spider lady. I will say, dude, she's a limber little minx. Like, good god, she's doing like that exorcist.
Oh my god,
shit! Like, what the fuck?
That was
yeah. When
scary.
It goes into like the body horror and like any of the special effects on this, I mean, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that part, her head like turns upside down and shit.
Oh yeah. But yeah, so like
John Carpenter did the thing too, right?
He did.
I mean, because the effects in there hold up.
The effects in there are amazing.
It's insanely awesome.
We'll have to do that at some point.
Probably
like this winter.
That's a good winter.
Yeah, it's a good winter movie. So,
And that was early '80s, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that was like '82, I think.
Yeah, I mean that shit holds up.
Oh yeah, dude, the thing's awesome. It's fantastic. I mean, John Carpenter is just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, in general. Fucking love that dude. But yeah, so this is the point, though, like, when they're driving, when, you know, Trent gets away, but he just keeps somehow driving into the town square with everybody chilling, like, in the middle, with, like, the mob there. Like,
honestly, I took that as because he was going against what was written.
Yep.
It just almost kept, like, turning the page back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how reset.
It was like reset almost.
That's how I took it. It's like he was trying to leave one page, but because that's not how it was written, he got thrown back to, you know.
Sutter Kane gets an ultimate say into what happens. So.
I think you're just going full on GTA and just like plowing through all those people.
I mean, dude, that's what I was saying. I was like, dude, treat them like fucking Florida protesters and just plow right through those motherfuckers. Like, come on, dude. Turn them into fucking speed bumps. Like, let's go. Like,
well, time after to make a the move. Fourth time you come back.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, obviously like, there's some kind of magic shit, so fuck it. Here we go. Let's see what happens. And that is what he does until he sees Styles and then, you know, for some reason turns away, even though she's a fucking squid spider lady. So
at that point, just run to leave her there. Dude.
Yeah, forget about her.
Yeah, dude, like, you can't, like,
no. Because she's already not helping you,
no,
right?
Dude, go bang somebody else, dude. Like, just give up. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
find somebody else, dude. Like, you're Sam Neill. Like, you're 1990 Sam Neill. You got no problems, dude. Go get it.
Yeah.
Go get it. You don't need her.
Don't go for just run Happy her down. Gilmore's grandma.
Yeah, exactly. No.
He'll be chained up naked to her other ankle.
Yeah, don't do that.
She'll just stomping on him.
Yeah, you don't want to be super cucks with her husband. Like, no. Oh god, so this is when we get a confrontation with Kane here. So Sam, he just kind of wakes up in the church and then basically
Kane confession.
Yeah,
like.
They're basically doing confession, yeah. So, which is fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, he basically explains that, you know, it's almost like Tulpa, basically, like the mass belief, you know, in his books has made fiction real. So people like willed it into existence and basically allowed the old ones to return. So
And then that's when he told him that Sam Neill is not real. He's just a character that Sartor Kane wrote.
And you know what? This brings me back to a quote from very early in the movie, and it stuck with me. It's actually very scary because I feel like one day it can be pertinent to the world.
Oh, no.
She goes, you know, the insanity is only insane. You know, or she said, like, once the insanity is the majority, the people who are sane will seem like the insane ones or something. Like, it was something I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And I was like,
the scary thing is when the when the insanity is the majority.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, when insanity, you're right. Like, when insanity is the majority, that's the scariest thing.
Yeah, I don't remember that being said.
It was when they were talking about their having their convo in the car. They were talking about like reality versus like fiction and shit.
Okay. Yeah.
And I wish I can remember the exact quote, but that was that very much resonated with me, especially like with this discussion too between Trent and Kane.
But that's when we find out, too, that it's Sam Neill's job to deliver the manuscript to the real world.
And is this also the time, because of this, you know, the only people who read the last book was Styles and the agent. And remember in the beginning when the agent was trying to axe Sam Neill, and it was probably because he knew that Sam Neill was ultimately going to be the one in this book that is going to give this book to the rest of the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what the mission was. Yeah. Because that's why he was going after him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they talk about that like later on.
Oh, is it later on? I wasn't sure if it was this point.
No, they talk about it a little bit later
It's later on. Okay.
Because he read the book. So he knew that it was going to be Sam Neill that did that, so that's why he was trying to kill him.
Right.
So he's trying to do some like John Connor shit to like save the future. Yeah.
He didn't just bring it out.
And then the police shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, are you gonna finish your waffles?
Like, yeah, dude, what are you gonna do after you murder him? Like, you just gonna sit down and like order some freaking blueberry pancakes or some shit? Like,
you're just gonna eat his. Are you eating that? Oh no,
like,
you're not.
Oh okay. No, you're not, because you don't have a head. So God. But yeah, so apparently that's his job. I mean, we got another fucking great line here, because like Sam Neill's just getting pissed at him. He's just like, your books suck. Like, he's just trying to like fucking insult
him. It's like such a seventh grade insult.
Shut up. It's amazing. He's just trying to hurt him any way he can. But like, dude, it'd just be so fucked up to just be told that like, you're not a real person. Like, you're just somebody that I made up and you're a character in a book.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
It's kind of like the whole simulation.
Like, pretty much. Like,
point is not real.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know what? I'm sorry. Yeah, that was right here when they're talking about that. It was right here because he does tell him that. He's like, "That's why." It's like, "That's why he picked you." You know, it's like you didn't think that was random, did you? Like, he was there for a reason.
And he's probably like,
"Yeah." So after that, you know, Kane ends up ripping his face off and just opening up the portal. We get to, basically first, you know, Sam Neill's like walking up there, but he's like getting everything narrated like as he's doing it, which would kind of annoy the shit out of me. Just be like, bitch, could you just shut the fuck up?
Apple.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I was thinking. There's a lady. Take the bite. Take another bite. Now they're walking away. Fucking Randy Newman. Just singing about everything he sees. But I mean, like, yeah, she's like literally just narrating like everything he's doing. I'd be like, would you shut the fuck up, please? Like, can you stop that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he basically, you know, he tries to get her to come with her, but she knows that she's getting written out of the book, so she has to stay there.
This was also a time where I said, well, when he got that manuscript, I was like, he's going to burn that manuscript.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to destroy that manuscript, and then, you know, that might you know, whatever. That was another one of my things that I thought was going to happen. That
maybe it'll break the curse or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
still. Maybe.
But yeah. So, I mean, but this is when the fucking old ones come out of the fucking portal. And, you know, Sam almost gets got by them, but he's able to escape in time. I mean, kind of.
The old ones are referring to the monsters.
Yeah, those are the monsters that are coming out of the portal.
Yep.
But, yeah, he just all of a sudden just wakes up on a road. And just kind of hanging out. That, you know, the whole scene with the kid on the bike, like some kid ends up rolling up on him and, you know, he's just like, I mean, yeah, like kid asked him if he was in an accident or something. He's just like, yeah, I guess so. And then asked him if he's ever heard of Hobbs End. And the kid's like, no, like, oh, I don't know what that town is.
But he had the manuscript in his hand, right?
Drinking, sir?
He did. Yeah, I know, right? He did have the manuscript in his hand. So,
like, that would mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's a freaking dream. Like, that would, I don't know what his thoughts were at the time.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know either. But he ends up hitchhiking to get back into town. Hopefully he didn't have to do anything crazy, you know, for that ride. Like, you know, the unwritten rules of the road.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's already been through crazy shit.
I mean, it
costs. It'd
be payback for him making up the. Yeah, it was this part of the story where I got that that BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Now you get the BJ. Yeah.
Except you got fucking dirty old trucker BJ.
No. Sutter Kane, you evil bastard. Why would you rate that? Like,
oh, so you think my book sucks, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see who sucks now. Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy the duck butter.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so petty. Hopefully he's not petty. Hopefully he's not petty, because that's like some shit I would do. Like, that's totally like some shit I would fucking do. It's like, oh, you're going to be a dickhead? All right. So he falls on the stick, and then... Oh, fuck. But yeah, so, you know, he hitchhikes, you know, he ends up getting to a hotel and all that. So this is when he gets that package at the hotel, which he lost the manuscript, but this is when he opens the package and it is the manuscript of In the Mouth of
Madness.
And
he was like, no one knows I'm here.
Yeah.
Who gave this
He's ready to go fuck up that clerk. He's about to
beat up that kid.
He's just like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, you son of a bitch. Like,
nobody knows I'm here. Well, somebody does.
Like, yeah, dude, I'm gonna kick that kid's ass too, man. But yeah, so he ends up burning it in the sink. Hopefully he didn't get nailed with that $250 cleaning fee by doing that, but...
I know, I'm like, why don't you just go outside?
I was like, just go outside, yeah, dude. You don't have to burn it one page at a time. Yeah. You know how long that's going to take? But yeah, so after that, we see him on the train. Holy shit, I want to kill this bitch that's sitting next to him talking about the fucking Great Depression and all this shit.
Hey, no.
Oh my God.
People think they have it bad now.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get it. It sucked then. Like, just come on. The fuck? This is when we get another visit from Sutter Kane, though. Because he's basically.
This was a weird
He's basically God sequence. At this point. Like, he even says so.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, well, I'm basically God now. So, yeah. Like, this is sweet. But this is when we have another Inception moment because he's within a dream, within a dream.
Yeah.
Him screaming on the fucking train. This was a big
Inception moment. Like, they just kept happening.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, he's got that fucking, like, dream within a dream. He's, like, yelling on the train. Like, that's one of the memes that have come out of this movie. Just fantastic. Like, him just, like, holding onto the back of the seat, just, like, just, like, yelling and shit. Like,
I've never seen that meme.
Yeah, that's been used for, like, a couple of things. You know, it's, like, when something bad happens, you know. But yeah, so after that, he's at some, you know, civil office or something like that, basically getting confirmation. He's at, like, the New Hampshire, like, Chamber of Commerce and shit, like, basically getting confirmation that Hobbs End doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize where he was at first.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, like, where he was, like, I would imagine, like, City Hall or some shit.
That makes sense. Or, like, the state and then he kind of got irate.
Or, like, the, like, state capitol building, something like that, yeah. You know? Because, yeah, he did get fucking pissed. Because
yeah, you know, the lady was pissed, too.
She was being a bitch. Like, we didn't hear the prior conversation, but, like, yeah, dude, she was being real bitchy.
It's like,
so
he just wouldn't let it go.
Yeah,
she was like, getting, she's finally just like, there never was and never will be a goddamn Hobbs End. Like, let's move forward.
Yeah. Come on. Like, I've had enough of your fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So they get back to New York. This is when we see Sam go back and pay a visit to Charlton Heston. They have another meeting. And we find out that apparently Sam delivered the manuscript months ago. Apparently the book's been a bestseller for a long time, and the movie's coming out in a couple months.
And he's like, wow, a movie's coming out? Yeah. Jesus.
So apparently Linda, though, never existed. So
I missed that part.
Kind of have a big back and forth there.
Why did
Because Charlton Heston has no memory of Linda Stiles at all.
Yeah.
Or sending her with him on that trip.
I remember him saying that, though. Like, and he's like,
she didn't come back. She was written out.
I sent you on that trip alone.
Yeah. He's straight up said, he's like, I sent you alone. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So she was, you know, she was retconned out of the book. So, you know, away she goes. So this is when we see Trent just getting worse and worse, and he finally decides to ax somebody himself.
That surprised me.
He goes to a fucking book signing, but you know, well, I mean, full circle, like where we started is where we end up. So, you know, it's gonna how things go a lot. So yeah, and then we get back to him in the asylum. Basically, you know, Sam Neill says, like, society's fucking doomed. Like, we're all fucked. Mm. Like, this is gonna, you know, end everything. So after that, you know, like, you know, David Warner goes out, talks to Beavis a little bit. They're just kind of hanging out, you know? Yeah, exactly. He's like, all right, thank you. Like, that'll do. Like, all right, cool. So but at that point, you know, we get a bunch of screams coming through the asylum. It seems to empty, and the door ends up just getting unlocked for Sam Neill. As we're walking out, we hear the radio just going off, just talking about reports of random violence, including, you know, cities just collapsing and people actually mutating. That would be fucked up. Yeah. All of a sudden you get, like, you know, something on your phone or some shit like that. It's like, okay, people are turning into monsters. Like, everything is fucked.
Well,
like,
the door doesn't just get unlocked for him. The door gets unlocked and the place is just
wiped out.
There's no staff. There's blood. Like, clearly just...
Shit went sour
for everyone.
Yep.
Except him.
Yep, exactly. He's doing pretty good. So, after this, you know, Sam Neill's just kind of walking around town. He ends up finding a movie theater that's showing In the Mouth of Madness and ends up walking in there to see the show. I love that even in the apocalypse, like, the movies are still running. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's convenient. But, yeah, it's just him watching the movie that we just watched, basically. And just all, like, focusing on all the scenes saying this is reality. Like, that was, like, the main focus of the spots that we were seeing. It's anytime Sam said, like, this is reality and all that shit, like, that's what they were showing pretty much. And, you know, he's just, you know, starts laughing maniacally with his popcorn, just having a great time. And, you know, that's it. As, you know, the movie and the world itself just wraps up and ends.
But no, at the very end, his laugh turned into a cry.
Did it?
Yeah. That's what I noticed.
That.
Yeah. His laugh turned into a cry. He was like, like you see the change in the face, and then.
And that's it. Done.
That's cool.
Yeah. I do love that meme, though, of when he's still happy, because that's another one. I'm just like, fucking, you know. Like, just chilling in the theater with the popcorn with, like, the big smile on his face, you know. I know there's a lot, like, Marvel used it, like, a lot, you know. It's like seeing the new Avengers movie, you know, and shit like that, you know. Like, that kind of shit, you know.
But yeah, I love that fucking meme.
But yeah, so once and for all, you know, RIP Sam Neill. You're one of the fucking best. So that is In the Mouth of Madness. So both of you guys, this was a first time watch, right?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So, what did you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the story is definitely like worth, you know, a couple watches, you know, because there was some things where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a crazy story, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, even just, you know, talking with you guys about this tonight, I mean, I feel like I got a better grasp on it. But, you know, I think it'd be just that much more enjoyable, you know, watch it again a while from now. And yeah, it was quite interesting.
Nice.
The effects are, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter will be.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, John Carpenter doesn't fuck around with that. But.
Yeah, I like the sort of smaller, I don't want to say cameo because it's bigger than that, but you got Charlton Heston in there.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Gilmore's grandma, fucking mm-hmm. Beerfest grandma.
There's just so many, like, recognizable people. Like,
yeah.
In the movie, cool. Which is amazing. Yeah, you know, and then led with Sam Neill, so, like, casting is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and then Sam Neill, of course. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely, this is a movie that I would definitely watch again. I hate that it took me to watch it for, I hate that Sam Neill had to die in order for me to actually see this movie. Like, I hate that, you know, because other than that, like, it's not a movie that I even knew existed, right?
We probably would have got to that eventually.
And so I'm so happy that we chose to do this, or that you chose to do this one. There were certain things that kind of, I felt like, you know, they kind of went, you know, down the deep end a little bit for certain things. Like, I didn't understand why the children were in it. Like, there's certain things that I thought would play a bigger role. Like, I kind of didn't understand why the children are in it, just a kind of a scary factor, I guess.
Well, kind of like, I believe they said at one point that the
was it they madness, got the children first
like, the madness
something?
Starts with the children.
Starts with the children.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's why they were having them being all like crazy and shit.
Okay. All right. So that makes a little bit more sense. But I thought the eeriness of the town, I thought they did a really good job of that.
I love fucking towns like that.
It's just that
like
town, that
small town, like, what the fuck? Like, but, you're but just not, driving through, like, goddamn, dude.
But like no cars, yeah. Nothing. It was like, oh my God, is this scary? But I also thought another person who I thought would have played a bigger role is the doctor, or was it the doctor? Who was Beavis? Was he like the head nurse? Or was he a doctor?
I think he was just like the head nurse. Like, he looked like the head orderly or some shit.
I thought he was the doctor, and the other guy that came in was like a psychiatrist or something.
I mean, maybe.
But either way, I just, with the amount of time they had focused on him just in like the first couple minutes, I thought he was going to have a big role.
He looked like a glorified orderly to me. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I just thought he was going to have a bigger role in it. Didn't matter that he didn't. I just
Beavis got screwed, man.
Yeah. Right. And actually, I just thought he kind of reminds me of another Ghostbusters 2 is the,
Peter McNichol.
Yeah. Peter McNichol.
He does kind of look like Peter McNichol. Yeah. He's Viggo.
Another way how I thought the movie was going to end, and I thought I had it again. I'm always, whenever I think of it, I always like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely how it's going to end. Every time. And I'm wrong most of the time. And so I actually thought that somehow he was going to get back to Hobbs End and like get to his typewriter and actually type a new ending.
Yeah.
Like somehow, just like, or since the book was already out, like somehow type some sort of sequel that returns things to a little bit of, like, normalcy.
I think there was an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode that ended like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was about, like, a cursed, like, typewriter or something like that, and somebody went in and, like, typed to fix stuff. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark.
I thought I had it on that one. Oh, my God. I
That would have been a cool way to end it, though.
Yeah.
But also, as we've talked about this, and just him just, because really, there's no happy ending. Not that there's many happy endings, but there's almost like no, like, there's almost no ending.
Everybody loses.
Just everybody loses. Yeah. The movie except just
for maybe the author.
The movie just could have continued. Like, it was just kind of like a, well, fuck, the end.
You're done.
But I did love the movie theater ending because it was just kind of him just, you know, laughing maniacally. And then at the very end, it kind of turns into a, oh, fuck me. You know, this is
reality. I kind of want to go back and just to the very end because that's something I missed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I the smile just turns just downward. And just kind of like, it was like, yeah, like, you know, because that maniacal high, like, you know, he's joking. He's like, oh, my God, look at this shit. Oh, my God. Oh, this is my reality.
My God,
this is. Fuck. Like, with the world is ending as we know it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, definitely worth a watch. Or a couple.
But, yeah, so that is what we thought of this. So what did you all out there think of this? Do you like this movie? How would you rank this in, you know, favorite Sam Neill movies? Let us know down below. And I suppose, on behalf of Lobotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out, guys.
Peace.